Take your Bibles with me. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 1. God has not given us a spirit of timidity or of fear. Most importantly, God has not given us a spirit of fear. Why are we so afraid when things happen in our world? When we run short on resources, when things don't go the way that we planned or the way that we pray, we suddenly get fearful. The federal government said to his employees that you will get the shot. There's going to be lots of litigation. Biden won't win. Can't. It's rhetoric. Our economy's broken. People are staying on unemployment rather than going back to work. There's fear. There's all these race relations problems in our country that they're speaking about that aren't really problems. There are people that are making them problems. They're not really problems. If you stand up for what you believe in, you'll be canceled. Your family's livelihood will be jeopardized. Healthcare is in shambles. There's riots in France. You don't see that on the media. Why aren't they showing that on TV? Because it's about COVID. It's about mandates. There's fear all over this country. It's messy. It gets real messy. In the Bible, Paul has given us, God has given us, some wise words that we should take to heart and to live by today. God has not given us a spirit of fear. That word means anxiety, anxious. Everybody seems to be anxious. There'll be those in the health practice field that's a diagnosis, anxiety. And right now, it's the number one problem of young people. It's exceeded suicide as the number one malady and killer of young people. Anxiety. Fear. Where's the church? How long are we going to sit in irrelevance? We have the answer. As I said, this is not a political sermon. This is not an economic sermon. This is not a social sermon. This is not a psychobabble sermon. This issue is spiritual. If you look throughout the Old Testament, you'll see what happened to Israel when they cowered. What happened when they became afraid of their enemies? What happened to them? They were overrun. Is that what we're going to do? The church going to be overrun by these ungodly heathens? Really? Are we going to let that happen? If the church would just show up, we'd end this nonsense. Because we don't have a spirit of fear. Death is not final for us. That's our calling card to go home. The whole world is in a spirit of fear. Race relations and China and wars and critical race theory, losing your job, getting canceled, virus mandates, economics. This is all of the devil. Are they real? Yeah. That's because the devil's real. But it's a spirit of fear that he's putting over this nation and the world, actually. And we have an answer to it. We have an address to make here. I believe that all these things, while real, the spirit of fear is of the devil. It's satanic. Putting it in its most common terms, it is wicked, evil. That's what it is. Are you going to be run down by the devil? Is that who you are? To be run down by the defeated foe? You let the devil run you over and make you have sleepless nights? Cause calamity to come over your heart in fear? Really? Let's be reminded today of who we serve. Look at even Newsweek on August 13th, the doomsday variant. The world is going to fall to pieces. That's what they want you to believe. Satan wants you to live in fear. This isn't 1960, 1970, 80, 90. This is last month. The doomsday variant, the Delta variant. Now look, if you got the shot, good for you. I'm not saying you should or shouldn't get the shot. It's not my business. It's not my business. And actually, neither is it yours. It's not your business. Stay out of it. If somebody chooses to get the shot, apply Romans 14. Don't argue with people what they think's right or wrong. Bless them. God bless you. But what I am here to say today is I'm going to share some facts about the vaccine. These aren't opinions, little hairs on the back of the head, speculations. These, what I'm about to show, have been researched thoroughly. These are facts. 3 weeks ago, and this is what sparked me in this whole thought. 3 weeks ago, the government said, specifically our president said, through Jen Psaki, the press secretary, and then it was reported that they were calling for this booster shot for COVID-19 every 8 months. Last week, they shortened it to 6 months. This week, they shortened it to 5 months. Well, what is that? What does common sense tell you? That the shot does not prevent you from getting it. Look here. This is what's happening in Israel. 60% of those hospitalized have been vaccinated in Israel. They're facing a crisis there. And in the world stage of things, Israel was one of the highest nations that had the highest vaccination rate in the world. They were upwards of 80% that have been vaccinated in their country. And look at here, 60% of those hospitalized right now had the shot. There's a spirit of fear. It's a spirit of fear. Notice what it says there. The country has one of the highest COVID vaccination levels, about 78%, 12 and 8 older, fully vaccinated with the Pfizer vaccine. At the same time, Israel now has one of the highest infection rates in the world, potentially a sign of waning vaccine immunity. Waning vaccine immunity, meaning it's not working in you preventing getting it. This is what they said. If you get the shot, you'll be good to go. You won't get it. You won't transmit it. Wrong. You will transmit it. So then they backed off and said, well, now you hear them saying, and specifically the CDC, saying that, well, if you get vaccinated, you won't have serious illness. And you probably won't end up in the hospital should you get it. So they went from, think about what's happening. Think about, use your mind's eye, be wise in the Lord, in the Spirit. We have been taught to be wise, to not necessarily have a crystal ball and predict the future, but forget about today. Forget about what's happened today. Remember what's happened 6 months ago, a year ago, when they were saying, if they get the shot, we'll all be fine. The world will be saved. No, it's not. Because it's the flu. Have you forgotten? It's a type of flu. Why do you think every year 500,000 people die from the flu? How many did I say, Pastor? I said 500,000 or so. Some years more, some years less. You know how many deaths there were in 2020 due to COVID? 644,000, about 500,000. It's the flu. It happens to be quite contagious. And why is it that every year there's a new flu shot? Because they can't stop it. The best thing that could happen is that you get it and live. Now, this is the director, and this is what drives me insane. These two double-tongued, wicked, ungodly heathens. And we take them at their word, don't we? We need to stop this. Use your noodle that God gave you. She said in March of this year, the director of the CDC, the data suggests that vaccinated people do not carry the virus. On August 6th, this year, she told Wolf Blitzer, who's on CNN, I think, right, or Meet the Press, one of those, she said, our vaccines are working exceptionally well. They continue to work well for Delta with regard to severe illness and death. See how they backed off what they said last year? They're not saying the same thing now, because they know it's a lie. And furthermore, but what they can't do anymore is prevent transmission. Which is the first thing they said is why we need this emergency act to get the shot. And now they're admitting that it can't prevent transmission. It never could. And furthermore, you need a booster three times. Spirit of fear. That's what this is. It's satanic. Even the deer have COVID. Whitetail population in Michigan and Minnesota. White-tailed deer found in every state except Alaska appear to be contracting the coronavirus in the wild. Researchers at the U.S. Department of analyzed blood samples in more than 600 deer in Michigan, Illinois, New York, Pennsylvania over the past decade, and they discovered that 152 deer, 40% of the deer tested, had antibodies to COVID-19. Even the deer have it. You know, this culture has been talking about everyone's becoming woke. It's time for the church to wake up and to get woke about who you are. You need to stop letting the devil run you down. Most of us trust National Geographic, don't we? Of course, highly respected. And they're saying the deer have antibodies to COVID. So what does that tell you? Are the deer dying by the millions? No, they have antibodies. I'm not telling you to go out and get COVID. What I'm telling you is if you get it, don't be afraid. Stop living in fear. We can't count on the CDC anyway, and here's proof positive why. The CDC said the Delta variant is as contagious as chickenpox. You ever heard of the RT value? That's what they're talking about, the RO. Value of zero is highly contagious, and R10 is less contagious. Or maybe it's the other way around. 10 is the most contagious, or whatever it was. Nevertheless, we know that chickenpox, was one of the most contagious things there ever was, ever. More contagious than anything. And they're saying, the CDC said that the Delta variant is as contagious as chickenpox. And guess, even public radio, NPR, even they said that's not accurate. So you got one leftist telling another leftist, hey, lefty, you're wrong. That's pretty bad. Even NPR says it's not accurate. So if we can't count on the CDC, who is supposed to be the authority, Dr. Fauci's been lying through his teeth for over a year, and he knows it, what are we supposed to say? You know, here's what I want you to do, and I'm not kidding you. I want you to take Facebook, TikTok, and all other nonsense and turn it off for a week. Read your Bible. Get off media and platforms and nonsense and all this non-crap. It's what it is. Get out of there. Clear your mind. Listen to the Lord. Listen to Christian music. Read your Bible. Hey, have dinner with your husband and wife for once. Commune. Go out to have coffee. Go on a bike ride. Get out of this spirit of fear, because that's the devil trying to scare you to live and to cower. Well, what does this mean for the church? And what does it mean to us? Well, first of all, it means probably that those that are driving the mutations are not the unvaccinated, but the vaccinated. They're the one causing the variant. Because those that have natural immunities are building up those immunities against it and killing it in their body. Like the deer, like nature, like it's supposed to. There are those that are particularly susceptible to any flu. I get it. Take the measures you need to take if you're susceptible to the flu. But please don't live in fear, especially if you know Jesus is your Lord. Live your life. Have a quality of life and trust God. Natural immunity is far longer, broader, and more durable than vaccine-induced immunity, and we already knew that. Whoever came up with that nonsense, we knew that was lies from the beginning. Your body is a more powerful agent against disease and virus. Nothing more powerful than your body. Vaccination will not stop infections or create herd immunity. They already admitted it. They already admitted it, that it will not stop from being transmitted. COVID cannot be eradicated because of the animal reservoirs. It's in the deer. It's in the animals. It's all over, just like any other flu. However, there is some bad news in this, and that it was man-made, probably. COVID is here to stay. Well, what are the implications? If that's true, Pastor, what are you saying? That COVID's not going away. If that's true, what are the implications? What is on the horizon for the church? What might this mean in the days ahead? I go back to this spirit of fear. This is not going away. Romans 8:15, it says, "So you have not received a spirit that makes you slaves. Instead, you've received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children, and now we call him Father. Now we call the Lord our Father. He is not giving you a spirit that makes you a fearful slave. So if you're a slave to the king, you should not be a fearful slave. Fearful perhaps of him in that sense, but not with this spirit of fear that we see all over our world right now. We respect and admire and reverence our king, but we're not afraid of the devil and his hosts and what happens in this world at all. And by the way, not wanting to die is not the same as saying, I'm afraid to die. You can say, I'm not afraid to die, but I don't want to die. Saying, I don't want to die is not being afraid of death. So stop that. I don't want to die. I got too much things that I want to do. And I'm sure the Lord's got a bunch of things that I need to do still too. I don't want to die, but I'm not afraid to die. Not at all. Do you know how fast a twinkling of an eye is? I'm sure this is wrong, but it makes my point, so I'm going to embellish it a little bit. It's something like 100 and, you know, to the twinkling of an eye speed is something like 1/1,000,000,000th of a second. If it's not 1/1,000,000,000th of a second, I apologize. So let me say this. It's pretty fast. And what the Bible tells us is that we will be translated to glory. We will be with the Lord in the twinkling of an eye. And so when we perish, when we die in our bodies, in the twinkling of an eye, we will be with the Lord. You know how fast that is? It's faster than I snap my fingers. Here, let's all raise your hands, all of you. Come on, raise your hands, snap your finger. Do it again. Faster than that, you'll be with the Lord. That's what Paul tells us. In the twinkling of an eye, we'll be with the Lord. Faster than you can snap your fingers. And so Paul says in Romans, I'm convinced that nothing ever can separate us from God's love. Listen, neither death nor life, angels or demons, neither our fears for today or COVID, blah, 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 or our worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from the love of God. Let us not forget who we are. Better stop pounding on this one. Let us not forget who we are. We as Christians shall not fear death because our marching order is death. Death is our marching orders to go home. When are we going to stop listening to these ungodly heathen fools and their coterie of wicked media commentators who are spreading a spirit of fear and start calling out this evil for what it is? Because it's evil. It's wicked. Everyone's caught up. It's clear that our leaders at the highest level have no plan. It's obviously clear they have no plan. The things they're proposing are absolutely illegal. They have no plan. What they're proposing is madness. It could be that some of us will lose our jobs, be shamed, vilified, canceled for not getting the vaccine. This is coming. It's already here. Within 3 months, I might have to terminate my employment with the federal government. And I'm going to do that. And that's not comfortable. But I'm not getting the shot. Why? Because that's just a decision that I've made. That's it. There's nothing more to it. That doesn't mean you shouldn't. That doesn't mean that you should or should not. That's what I'm doing. That's entirely up to you. But the government's not going to force me to put something in my body. And by the way, if you want an exemption, I'll write one for you. And it's based on the scripture. And you know what the Bible says? We have a direct spiritual, because this is a spiritual battle, we have a direct spiritual mandate from scripture that's clear and dry, that is a part of your holiness, it's part of your sanctity, it's part of your sacred tradition, it's part of your personal heritage and your faith with God, and that is that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, and we're not supposed to put anything in it that is going to contaminate or damage it. And that is exactly what this shot does. It changes our genes. You understand? You say, well, Vince, the difference between a shot and a chocolate donut? In premise, nothing. Chocolate donuts are bad too, at times. I'll get myself off the hook sometimes. Yeah. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You know the passage in Corinthians. Don't put anything into it that defiles it. And furthermore, why would you put something in your body that changes your genetic makeup? So, if you need an exemption for medical or for religious reasons, as part of your sacred belief and your conviction for the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're conscientious about it, I will absolutely write it, and I will back it up with every bit of force and power that I have. It comes right out of the Word of God. It is part of our tradition. It is part of our religious heritage. It is part of our serious convictions in the Lord. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, not of the devil. So what's coming? What will the church do in this? Cower? Be chickens? And run home, tails tucked between our legs? I'm serious. What's going to happen? We're just going to wrap it up and go home? There will be thousands who need food. You say, Vince, that sounds like a catastrophe. If they keep doing what they're proposing, this is what's going to happen. They're going to put 50 million people out of work or more. There's 70 million in the United States approximately who haven't gotten the shot. And as far as I can tell, they're not getting it. And they're willing to put 70 million people out of work. 70 million people. That is something like what? Around 10 million per state? Right? Or something like that? Or no. What is it? What's the number? A million per state? Something like that? 50 states, 50 million? So 1.5 million, if you do the average, if there's 70 million people that don't have a job and you got all the states, about 1.5 million people in each state out of work. Is that right? So yeah, 50 states, 50 million. 1.5 million approximately. What does that mean for Minnesota? Think of 1.5 million people being out of work. You say, this ad's not going to happen. Yes, it can. That's why Marxism won't work. When the president of our United States says that you must get the shot, that is absolute socialism. And it's satanic. When are we going to call this evil what it is? It's evil. There will be thousands who need food, shelter, clothes. There are already many orphans and widows who've died according to the illness. Okay. What about the church member? And we're comfort now. But what happens to us? You know, I have been, and I need you to join me and think about this. I have been a wartime pastor my entire career. You understand that? Afghanistan just ended. I was in war. And my entire career, I've been a wartime pastor. Entire career. And the war's not over, gang. We are still at war. The enemy's different. It's not the Taliban. It's not your fellow Americans. It's not even the president and all his folks. It's not those that disagree with you. It's not those of different color skin. It's not those of a different socioeconomic status. It is Satan who is our enemy. And if the church will rise up and be who we were made to be, the race relations would end. And take these people that are throwing fuel on fire, because that's all they're doing, is throwing fuel on fire to create problems. They're busybodies. If we would love our neighbor as ourselves, the way we were taught, we could end all this nonsense. I told Christian this morning that if our leaders would wake up and end Roe v. Wade, God would once again make us the most powerful, feared nation on earth ever. And we stand up for the unborn like no country has in the history since back in the old days. If our nation did that, God would rise up a generation that would be unstoppable for proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. Millions would be saved. and we would be in the throes of it. But I'm telling you right now, we are at war. And the war is for your souls. We must mobilize. We must be prepared to deal with this stuff. This may happen shortly. Wake up. What are we going to do if that happens? What if five of our families are out of work and they can't pay their bills? What happens? Who's going to take care of them? What are we supposed to do? Times are going to get hard for Christians because they refuse to get this shot. This all could happen, hopefully, and we're going to keep praying that it won't, because it's illegal as it is right now. But we must be prepared to address this. In Philippians 4 and 7, look what it says. Be anxious. What's the word for anxious I said earlier? Fear. Fear nothing is what Paul said. Fear nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And when you fear nothing, and when you pray, and when you give it to God, what happens? The peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. What will it do? It will bring peace. It will bring more than peace. It will guard you from the spirit of fear. It will guard your heart and your mind in Christ. That's why we're supposed to pray for everything. And let our requests be made known to God, and pray in the closet, and pray on the street, and pray in the church, and pray everywhere, all times, because we don't live in a spirit of fear. In Matthew 10:26, it says, don't be afraid of those who threaten you. For the time is coming when everything that is covered will be revealed, and all that is secret will be made known to all. What if it turns out that people are going to go to prison because of what they've said over the last year about COVID? What happens in 2 years when they're lined up ready to go to the gallows because they told bald-faced lies and millions died? What if they find an author of this SARS-2 gene change and they find out that there was a conspiracy and someone humanly created it, which is what they think happened, and this person's held accountable and they're sentenced to death? What if this happens? We don't know. And they caused a world panic. Don't be afraid of those that threaten you. I have seen it in my military career over and over and over. There were threats made to remain in standard. And you got to do this, and you got to pass that, and you got to qualify for this. And it goes on and on and on. And time after time after time after time, even the system and the machine cannot stand up to God's will. Over and over. One of my close friends, you know Matt Deitner, don't you, Christian? Yeah. He thought his career was over. I said, Matt, if God wants, I was the supervising chaplain. I said, Matt, if God wants you here, you're going to be here. He still is there. And he qualified. Even though the system said he wasn't going to be there. The system, the structure, the processes. He's there, though. For the time is coming that everything that is covered will be revealed. We don't know what's going on behind the scenes, and it's not important that we know. But what we do know for sure is that the devil's at work, and we should not be afraid of his tactics. In verse 28, it says, don't be afraid of those who want to kill your body. They cannot touch your soul. Fear only God, who can destroy both soul and body in hell. That's why we should be standing up. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness is important, but it's not nearly as important as your soul. It's not nearly important as going to hell. Finally, in Revelation 21, it says, but the cowards and unbelievers, the corrupt, murderers, immoral, those who practice witchcraft, idol worshipers, and all liars, their fate is the lake of fire. And this is the second death. In other words, those people are going straight to hell, and they should. We don't have to be cowards. We don't have a spirit of fear. We have a spirit of what? Power. We have a spirit of power that God has given us. With the strength God gives you, be ready to suffer with me for the sake of the good news, is what Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 1 in verse 8. So never be ashamed to tell others about the Lord. And don't be ashamed of me either, even though I'm in prison for him. And with the strength God gives you, be ready to suffer with me for the sake of the good news. God has given us a spirit of power, of love, and self-discipline. And we need to start living it every day. And go back and hearken to the Old Testament. This is my command, be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And finally, the New Testament in Matthew 10, it says, but beware, this could happen. They'll hand it over to the courts and be flogged with whips. You will stand trial before governors and kings because you're my followers, and you won't get the shot. But this will be your opportunity to tell the rulers and other unbelievers about me. And when you're arrested, don't worry about how to respond or what to say. God will give you the right words at the right time. Do not be afraid anymore. Tell as many people as you can. What an opportunity the church has right now. What an opportunity we have right now to be relevant in the world. I could preach out of Joshua and give you the 5 points out of chapter 6. Wouldn't it be much more exciting to do something that's more meaningful than getting the 5 points out of Joshua? Like helping people that are broke and helping people preach the gospel and spread out the word of God and have rallies. What if we stood out there with signs and said, don't fear this nonsense? Are we willing to be ashamed for the Lord to get people saved? We're going to hold a rally at the parking lot over there at the grocery store and say, hey, COVID nonsense. You think they'd run us out of there? Right? Feeding the orphans and the widows, which is what the church's job is, as best we can. And asking other people to help us. You guys get creative. Help me. We'll lead it. We'll put it together. Why don't we go out in the world and make a difference in a different way? Do something different. We have an opportunity. Obviously, the goal is to spread the gospel. The goal is to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ and to get people saved. That's the goal. But if I can do that with a piece of bread, or if I can do that with helping someone in some certain way, someone suffering with COVID, I don't know. You got, what, 30 minds in here? We got a lot of people that can think up things. I'm just the preacher. I'm saying, let's go. All lead us. Let's do it. Let's do it now. Worship team, would you come?